I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined this week by Mr. Lance Laster. What's up, Lance?
What's up? How are you?
Good. We're here, and it's not a Black Thursday. It's Black Friday.
Hey, yo.
Or is it Dark Thursday?
It was Dark Thursday.
Yeah, okay. we'll get to Dark Thursday in a couple seasons. So yeah, we're here on Black Friday. Use some of those sweet Patreon funds you guys have already started pouring in. Pick up some more audio equipment. Got our commentary set up here, ready to go. But that's not what you're getting this episode. So why did I even mention it? Anyway, moving on. Posted a funny picture on the social media. Y'all might have seen. Picked up some mic stands. You know, because I'm making a more permanent setup for these commentaries Lance and I are going to start doing. And did not realize there were different color mic stands. Yep. So mine's white, and Lance's is black.
Ebony and ivory.
I didn't know they made white mic stands.
I didn't either.
But that's, I love it.
It's hilarious.
So guess whose is who? So anyway, so we're talking about the Chloe Chronicles Volume 2.
Yes.
Because we're in between Seasons 3 and 4 here on the cusp of starting our Season 4 coverage. And these take place in the continuity of season 3, because as we all know, Chloe died at the end of season 4.
Yeah,
pour one out for you, Chloe. Anyway, Chloe Chronicles Volume 2. Now, Lance and I did Chloe Chronicles Volume 1 a while back, between seasons 2 and 3. And if you don't remember everything that happened in the first Chloe Chronicles, you're going to be lost as hell.
Yes,
watching these. Also, apparently, if you didn't read the Smallville comic books.
And we're not talking season 11 here.
Yeah, this is the Smallville comics that were coming out when the show was on. Chloe Chronicles, they came AOL, I guess. I think, yeah, they were related with the first ones were successful enough they wanted to do another one, but they did another one.
Probably shouldn't have,
because this was confusing,
yes,
frustrating, and just a big waste of time.
Yeah, and kind of bad.
Not good. The presentation on the Season 3 DVD leaves much to be desired as well, because you get a comic book in the middle of it.
Uh-huh.
It just said, here's a comic book. We're not going to film this. But the first one, it's a self-contained thing enough, and I get it. And for what it was, it's weird you don't see more of that stuff today in these shows. Now, I know a few years ago on The Flash, they did, the Cisco Chronicles or something, right?
Something like that. And then Felicity had something with Roy in, like, season 2 of Arrow, something like that, 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much been it.
I mean, it's with the way social media is and the internet and YouTube exclusives here and there, you think there'd be more of these sorts of things.
You would think.
But this, I applaud the idea. I think it's pretty clever. Like, mm-hmm. You have Chloe on these side missions or whatever.
Yes.
In the season.
Like, if they did this today, like if Arrow did this like today, like now, or like any of these superhero shows did something like this, it'd be like on the show's like IG story or Snap story. You know what I mean? Like, that's how they would market this. It wouldn't be its own little webisode. It would be like a social media thing. It would be a Snap story or an IG story or a Facebook Live or something like that. That's how they would approach this. It wouldn't be a DVD feature, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean,
they'd have like listeners and people like tune in at a certain time for whatever. It's like, you know, like everyone's going live at this time. Tune in. That's what it would be.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly what the audience was here. I think it was AOL or whatever, and They did have a time because the little icon was like the fresh episode of The Chloe Chronicles. That was funny. Like, dun, 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 dun. We might bump in and out with that music, actually.
Yeah.
But
it's at new episodes weekly.
Yeah. Oh, we'll bump out with that. I don't forget about with it. But anyway, they did not bother to, I mean, upscale the video. I mean, to their credit, it was of the time.
Yes.
Very, you know, like whatever the lowest setting on YouTube is you can watch a video on, that is what this is, the dimensions and stuff. So, I mean, that's what it would be because they're walking around with these cameras. But so anyway, you know, I will say, thinking back on it, I did enjoy the first Chloe Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it set some stuff up and tied enough into the fringes of stuff they mentioned in the show where it kind of justified its own existence. This one, not so much, but yes. Hey, let's get into it. The Chloe Chronicles, Volume 2.
Hi, it's me. And a lot's happened since the last time we've talked. As the investigation has become more dangerous, the truth has grown more urgent. Thanks to some new evidence, which has mysteriously disappeared, of course, the once cold trail is now hotter than downtown Pompeii. Now I think...
You've got mail.
A video from Dr. Walsh... If I open this, there's no going back. For better or for worse, my little chronicle will have an ending. I feel a here we go again coming on.
So the Chloe Chronicles, Volume 2, aired in 2004.
It's a good year.
And they're written by Mark D. Warshaw and Bryce Tidwell, and directed by Mark D. Warshaw. Now, I mean, Mark Warshaw had been kind of the creative... force behind the first volume.
Okay.
So we carried it on here. And, you know, we see Chloe Sullivan doing her thing. Pete Ross, though, this time, plays a big role. Sam Jones III gets on-camera time, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
We see returning characters Dr. Arthur Walsh, played by Christopher Heyerdahl, who goes on to play Zor-El in Season 7 of Smallville. And then we see Gerard Plunkett come back as Dr. Donovan Jameson, who I think when we were talking... And the first Chloe Chronicles, I thought, oh, they brought this guy in for Season 6 to be one of Lex's doctors. That's great. No, that's a different character. Because this guy plays out his character in the comic book section of these Chloe Chronicles.
Yes, he does.
And we'll get right into it here. I know, Lance, you have some notes as we were watching.
A little bit.
That we can reference to keep us some kind of guide of order.
Yeah.
But we start out, and it's a comic book.
Yes.
And I'm like... And then you realize that they basically, I don't know what came first, but Smallville number 8.
Yeah.
It was like one of the chronicles here. And it took a while to read, I must say, because it's a very poorly interactive read. It's not motion comics that you find on DC Universe today.
Correct.
Okay? It is, they are click and it's click through, and there were like so many. But not only did they include... The Chloe Chronicles part of that comic book, they included this Lex story as well.
Yeah.
Which was like, I understand because they wanted to include the whole comic book, I guess, but then why not just put every Smallville comic book on the DVD?
Agreed.
Well, that didn't apply to the Chloe Chronicles, but we'll get there in a minute. But it starts out with like some comic book pals. I'm like, really? A
couple of them,
this is what we're doing?
Yeah, and it's kind of odd, and it kind of throws you for a loop at the very beginning because it's like, wait, oh, this is what we're doing? And it kind of like deflates your sales a little bit.
It's like when you watch deleted scenes and they're like, we didn't film this, but it would have looked awesome if we did.
Yeah.
And you see the storyboards and you're like, oh, okay. So that's how they start. And it's Chloe narrating. Like, it doesn't even get, honestly, it doesn't even do that good of a job on like getting you up to speed.
Yeah. even though I think it's supposed to, it just doesn't really do it.
Right. Because again, I barely remember the first Chloe Chronicles, mm-hmm. and I was very lost for a lot of this. I remember Zor-El, and I remember Lex's scientist from Prototype, at least that episode. I know he was in at least that episode, and that's one of the other guys. And I remember kind of what was going on there, but I guess we did ourselves a disservice by not watching the first ones immediately before this one. But keep in mind, these are coming out on AOL in 2003, 2004.
Yes.
And you think, like, who's going to, oh, let me go rewatch the Chloe Chronicles before I watch Chloe Chronicles.
No,
I'm very
joke.
Curious to see how this goes to the Vengeance Chronicles in Season 5.
Oh,
so,
man.
Akiview to the rescue. Now, to my knowledge, there was no Chloe Chronicles Volume 3 in between. Like, no. For Season 4, there was, I don't know, there was nothing, I guess.
Yeah, there was nothing.
So, we go have this. We have the previous Chloe Chronicles, then we have the Vengeance Chronicles, and then we have more of these comic books, which has their origin here in the beginning of this. So we start out, and Chloe's like, we're still investigating this, basically, right?
Basically. And then that leads to watching a last tape confession from Dr. Walsh.
Dr. Walsh, yeah. If you're watching this, I'm already dead.
Yes. It's one of those.
It's one of those, which we see Chloe do herself in the next episode, I'll point out. So anyway, that was on. That was, oh, hey, man, this is a great idea. It's a cliche for a reason, folks. Mm-hmm. So he's like, if you want to sleep at night, stop now. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I wish I had stopped now. So.
But the funny thing is, like, because, like, in... when she before she opens it, because she gets it by email, and you right. hear the AOL, you've got mail.
Yes, that's how you know it's a tie-in. Yeah, so of the time, right? So
love it.
We that's the end of the first one. The beginning of the second one is she goes to their house, his family's house with his widow and son, and they watch this goodbye message. I guess people are coming down the door to get him. Right? He's in level 3, I guess, but he's really just in like some basement somewhere. Yes.
He is. And it's, I mean, like, they watch this video and it's just like, it's just super awkward because, like, you could tell that, like, she's like, this is awkward, or, like, I don't know if Allison Mack is thinking to herself, man, this is really bad. But, like, she just has this look of, like, awkwardness about the whole situation, sitting next to, like, the wife and, like,
in this living room. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, the kid wearing, like, you know, the Blue's Clues shirt.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He does look like that kid.
It's just very. It's just very funny, the whole situation. But then, like, you know, he has this, like, Dr. Walsh has these weird, he's sending a message, you know, and, like, he's talking about,
he says goodbye to his wife and kids, telling him he loves him, and he's like, hey, son, remember those fishing trips? Well, you know, take care of your mom and get that magic lure and go down there and reel in that monster, and then all the answers will be revealed to you.
Yeah, something like that.
And then, so this ends, and by the way, let me point this out, like, it's not as immediately obvious in the torch office, I think, scenes where it's like, God, this looks really different than the show. Mm-hmm. But when you see these scenes in, like, somebody's house, this is the difference, folks, between you pick up your iPhone and you make a movie, and then, like, you have a real movie set or TV set with cameras, lighting, you know, and blocking.
Yep.
You know, this is the difference, okay? Like some level on a budget, you know, I think you talk about low-budget TV shows, at least they get that kind of stuff right. I mean, and that's, I'm not saying this is a criticism of this, but I'm just pointing out, like, you can see the indistinguishable, intangible difference between this and, like, Smallville proper. Mm-hmm. That's what that is, because you really did just have one person with a camera in a room with three other people for this. So,
yeah.
So they're on the couch, and the kid's like, can I go play? And he goes off in the corner, like, to play with, like, an airplane on a stool or something.
Yeah. And then, like, Chloe goes to try and talk to him. She's like, you know, your dad's really proud of you, right? He's like, how do you know?
Yeah, he's really... And I'm like, whoa, okay. And then she's like, but he said so on the tape. He's like, the tape is crap.
He left us because he didn't like us.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa. The tape is crap. These Chronicles are crap. I mean, I'm just very disappointed.
Yes.
And it's given us so many opportunities to make fun of it and stuff like that. So not the best kid actor in the world.
No.
So they have delivered the message to his family, but then she realizes, oh, I think your dad was trying to tell us a message.
Yes.
So they get his fishing box out,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, which one was his lucky lure? And he's like, that one made it himself, but he never used it. And Chloe's like, oh, I think I know why. So she opens it up and there's like a SD card in there or something, right? Memory card.
Yep. And then she puts it into her Palm Pilot.
Her Palm Pilot. State-of-the-art technology.
I mean, at the time it was.
Well, she kind of has like the Samsung 10 Plus or whatever that is.
Something like that.
I'm an iPhone guy, so I don't know about the Samsung stuff. But Samsung has the little...
the note.
We've brought back the pin. The note. That's what it is. We brought back the Palm Pilot pin.
Yes.
Which is like, what are we doing here? I thought we'd evolved past
this. A little bit.
But anyway, she puts it in there and it's like Ghost
Neck SS and then like a series of numbers.
Yeah, and it turns out to be... GPS coordinates they find. So,
yes.
But then we get I think that's the end of that episode.
It is.
And their segment or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the next episode is by far the best of the whole episode, right?
Oh, yeah. Because Pete's in it.
And he says, nice to get some screen time
for a change. Yeah. He looks at he kind of breaks the fourth wall and mentions how it's like nice to have screen time for a change.
It is pretty meta. Like, I know it's like a joke in the show itself because he'd been behind the camera.
Yes.
Like in the Chloe Chronicles, but then in Smallville proper because this is the height of like, where is Pete?
Uh huh.
So I guess he's off doing this. This is what he was doing. But anyway, it's a great scene. Right?
It was great. Because, like, you know, he gets a call from his mom while he's in there. And he has like the cell phone that like I had in high school at the time, like the flip end of phone. High school. Yeah. One of those flip phones. The silver one, so that was a nice little touch. But and like he's talking to his mom, and he's like, yes, I'm with Chloe. And like his mom's like giving him some crap
it's
about
not like that.
Yeah, no, giving him crap about hanging out with Chloe. So she knows.
She's right here.
Yeah.
So anyway. That
moms
that was
always
cute.
Know.
Moms always know. So that was cute. And so then they decide to go to the cemetery. They find it's a cemetery.
Yes.
And so they go to the cemetery, and that's the next episode. These episodes... You know, I'll tell you what, the eighth episode, the Smallville combo issue 8 just broke me.
Yeah,
like I was
agreed.
I was paying good attention to when segments began and ended, but once we got to that,
to the comic book, because it's like an actual comic book.
It's so long.
It's like actually reading an actual 22 pages.
You have to read it panel by panel. There's like 60 panels we had to go through. But yeah, so that one ends, and that is the best because it's nice to see.
Pete doing stuff.
Pete doing stuff. And, you know, he's gone now. So
I know. It's sad.
So we'll never see him until season 7.
Yep.
So.
Kryptonite free.
So we go to the graveyard, and they used to call it ghost necking because teenagers used to go there to make out.
Yes.
So that was pretty clever. And then what does Chloe say when they get there?
Where no one makes out alive.
You get it? Because they're dead. So they're walking around and they see Earl Jenkins' grave, the
yes.
great Tony Todd. And she's like, oh, this one gives me the
jitters.
Because that was the name of that episode. Not to be confused with CC Jitters.
Yes.
Which there's a storefront now for in Six Flags Fiesta,
there
Texas.
Is.
And a big the Monarch Theater.
And a big yes. belly burger.
Yes, yes. Kudos to the set decorators over there at Six mm-hmm. Flags Fiesta, Texas. Because those are some deep cuts there.
Yep.
But they walk by Earl Jenkins' grave and then they go over to. She's like, oh. These numbers. It's a GPS coordinate, right?
Yeah, and it leads him to Sarah Strasberg's grave.
Sarah Strasberg. So they take a picture of it. She died in 1992.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know, like, what it means or anything.
Correct.
So they take it back to the torch, and they do some more research.
They do some more research, and they find out that she was, like, an intern at this new corp. Business. This
yeah,
is where
Jameson works.
Yeah. Because the next thing that we see is like Chloe at this press conference with this dude. And like, when I was
Metropolis News.
Yes. So I was watching this, I was like, there is a high school reporter asking, like, actually asking questions at a Metropolis
Would
News.
Would you care
thing.
To comment on that?
I know. And he's like responding. It's just like, does
well,
he know
he
that
knows
she's
Chloe
in high school?
From before? Yeah.
But I know. But
it's the first chronicle. So they had a pre-established relationship.
But it's just so funny. Like in these types of shows, like, you know, the Scooby kids, like doing these adult
yeah,
things and nobody seems to question it.
Oh, sure. Let's see. Metropolis Star, Richard Daily Planet, Miss Sullivan.
Yeah.
It's Bubble Torch. Well, maybe she was still working at the Daily Planet at this point.
Could have been.
I mean, might have been. Knows. Cares. So yeah, this guy's asking. So she's digging, and this is. I did start to kind of lose the plot here.
Yeah.
I think it would have helped if I remembered more of the first Chloe Chronicles, and also apparently read Smallville number 7.
Yeah.
So I'm not. I see. This is where this stuff falls apart. Right. When it's not self-contained, and I'll tell you when it started. It started with the Matrix sequels. And they were like, you got to play The Matrix Reloaded to understand the last message of the Osiris or something. And watch the Animatrix,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, you got to go to all these movies to watch the Animatrix.
Yeah, you got to watch the Animatrix, and then you got to play the video game. And there's, like, actual scenes with, like, Jada Pinkett Smith and the general from Man of Steel.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. That guy and Lawrence Fishburne.
I know.
Are in the DCEU.
I know.
It's wonderful.
I know.
Where's Jada Pinkett Smith in this? Will Smith is here.
That's true.
Where's Deadshot's ex-wife? Anyway, yeah, that's where it's... And then Star Wars prequels are like, oh, well, if you read the novel, you'll see the General Grievous, yeah. and then watch the Clone Wars. And anyway, this
see,
stuff...
But at least Clone Wars is good.
But the original Clone Wars...
The Genndy Tartakovsky one.
Yes. Those are the best thing by far to come out of the Star Wars prequel era. Don't at me.
Yes.
Those 100%. Are amazing. I was emotionally moved... by several episodes of that.
Yes.
I mean, that was like, it was badass with Mace Windu.
Oh, of course. That's one of their best episodes. But the episode where Anakin, like, loses the braid and, like, actually becomes a Jedi, like, that's, like, that's everything I wanted episode 2 to be.
Well,
that, like, 5 minutes.
But then, he, in the second volume,
I know,
it all
right?
ties together. The Clone Wars volume 2. Not Clone Wars.
The Clone Wars.
Or is it the other way around?
I don't know.
I think it is the other way around.
But y'all know what we're talking
about. When
Anakin,
like, he has one mechanical arm, right?
Yes.
And then he finds this planet with, like, all these, like, aliens have been experimenting on their arms being cut
uh-huh.
off. And then he frees them and he holds a hand up.
That
like,
was
yeah.
great.
There's,
yeah.
like, a slave revolt. I'm like, you know what? That's amazing. That
it
touched
is.
Me in the feels. so much better than the movies.
Yes,
so.
And that like that gives you like he's like, oh, Anakin was a good person before he became Darth Vader.
Well, that's something that the actual Clone Wars show and Rebels and all those, I'll give credit. Those animated shows are pretty good.
We've watched
them every now and then. So anyway, back to this garbage. Look, if you like Jordan Valdez, I know you're listening. I know I defend this. Does this count as your everything in Smallville gets an A? I don't know. I just.
Yeah, you'll have to like defend and explain this one to us, bro.
It's just we're almost there, but the comic broke me. So back on track now. Tangent. So Chloe goes and talks to like Donovan's ex secretary.
Yes. Who's now like the VP of this company.
And she told him she was Time Magazine or something.
Yeah.
Get in the door. And she's like, but I admire you as a journalist because you're a woman and I'm a woman or something, right?
Something like that.
And then they started some Sarah whatever.
Strasburg
Memorial Fund.
Yes.
And then.
It's like a scholarship fund.
What's her name gets a phone call and they leave. And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
And I guess it's supposed to be Lionel Luther, maybe.
Most likely.
We just got a visitor who you need to be aware of.
Yes.
I'm like, okay. So they leave and then they.
The next thing we know that like they're like she and Pete are wandering in the woods.
They're doing Blair Witch Project.
Yeah,
right?
Basically. And then like she has this.
Pete says I could have done without the reference.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But then like she's walking around like they have a map, but it's like drawn on a piece of notebook paper.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because again, like, I mean, these are things that you and I remember having to do back in the day. Like,
yeah.
We used to have to do that for stuff. Or, like, you know, like, have, like, a printed out, like, turn by turn of like, MapQuest, like, directions for places.
It's the worst.
The pre, you know, GPS and, like, you know, the guide for it. But that was funny. But then after that, like, you know, a mysterious hand, like, she can't find Pete.
Well, yeah, and then she brings out her second camera.
Yeah.
I'm like, why is there two cameras? But that also, I will say, that solves a lot of plot holes production plot holes, continuity errors, we'll call them that.
Okay.
Because, like, they do a good job of, like, this is a one-camera show, left
yes.
and right. But a lot of times, like, they cut. I'm like, you can't cut. You're having a continuous conversation. So there were two cameras in this. And, of course, it has the REC and the blinking.
Uh-huh.
And so Pete, he wandered off because he got annoyed with her not being able to find the pond. He found the pond. And she thought he'd run off to mess with her. And
yes.
then this time he disappears. She's like, it's not funny again, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see this kind of, and I will say, this is kind of funny. You see a shadow come behind her. I'm like, okay, that's pretty well done.
Yeah.
Because it's from her point of view and you see the shadow come. I was like, is that a camera guy? Did they do this wrong? But no, they didn't. It was part of the story.
Yeah.
She gets tackled by somebody from behind. And that's the end of that episode.
It is. But then, like, after that, that's when the comic book starts. Because it's like, you, the facial expression on Chloe during like in that panel, like when the comic book starts, is so funny.
Well,
to me.
We'll have to share that.
Yeah, we'll have to share it, but it's so funny because it's so ridiculous.
So then we get, I don't know, this was like 60 frames or something. It's a full comic book.
It's a lot.
And okay, don't get me wrong. There's some interesting stuff in here, but the fact that I thought we were going to watch some 3-minute little clips.
Yes.
Allison Mack, Sam Jones doing stuff.
Yes.
And then, like, work in the confines of that. Do not give us some secret lab. We can't show you anything. So, you know what, guys?
Yes.
We can't afford to film this. We're just going to write it in a comic book.
Yeah. Because basically, this whole comic book was like an episode of Smallville.
Yeah.
Like, without Clark. Like, it's this long comic book episode.
So, so it turns out Donovan Jameson. Is the ones who brought him down there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you were being followed. Oh, that's something they're like, I think we're being followed the whole
yes.
time, right? And he's like, you were being followed, and I brought you down here for your own safety. And he explains that girl who died wasn't stable and tested stuff on herself before it was ready. But, and then he has Dr. Hamilton's research. And okay, so this is
Hamilton papers.
The Hamilton papers. What is this? The Federalist papers?
Yes. Hamilton wrote the other 61.
So they're in there, and this is interesting. Like, he starts giving them a tour of this secret lab they have under this pond, and you see, like, a bug in a terrarium. It's like, this is Greg Arkin, or at least part of him. I'm like, oh, that's cool, because
yeah,
when you split into those 100 bugs,
exactly,
they got one of them, you know? And then you see Tina Gear's corpse, like, in a stasis tube.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see Sean Kelvin
frozen
in a block of ice. And again, I know we talked about it way back in Cool, but it's like, is he dead? Is he not? I didn't think he was dead. They're saying his heart beats 50 beats per day.
Yeah.
So he's not dead, but he's like in this
weird stasis period.
But so that's
like
cool
that
someone had collected, like, okay, where did these guys go?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what they got Teeny Greer down there.
I don't know either.
Because he didn't come into play at all in this guy's powers, which we get to in a minute.
Yeah.
But that was kind of cool.
That was kind of cool.
Something they couldn't really do in live action.
Agreed.
Well,
yeah.
Actually, you know, they could. You walk by, oh, here it is. You just walk by some tubes on a wall, and you have a picture. You have, like, Lex's room, the chamber of Clark Kent. Like, this was Lizzie Kaplan.
Yep.
And this was, you know, whatever. Chatty Danella.
Yeah.
Why would I remember that guy's name? I do not know. But
that's true. They could have done something like that.
But then you have to pay for the rights of the face of the actors, maybe? You know? I don't know. But that would have been cool. Because you're like, yeah, level 3 and level 33.1 scooped up some of these people. Where'd the other ones go? They all didn't go to Belle Reve, you know?
Correct.
So anyway, that was cool. I was like, that, whoa! Okay.
Yeah, that was nice. That was a nice little surprise.
But then they take him. He's like, all right, well, you were being followed, and they'll probably be gone by tomorrow, so you guys just stay in this room. And I'll let you out tomorrow. And
which
and,
he was definitely not going to do.
But then he said he really was going to let him out.
I don't believe
so him. Chloe starts, I mean, of course he leaves him in the room with like all the videotapes and archives. So Chloe goes through like the archives. Pete's like, I'm going to look for a way out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts crawling around at the air ducts. I don't know where he goes. And then she does the whole Batman Heart of Ice thing and watches the tape. From what happened, this is, I'm going to think of any of this.
Uh-huh.
When any of this happens, I think of Heart of Ice where he puffs in the VHS tape and watches Mr. Freeze's origin because Mark Hamill says, shut it down.
Yep.
Ferris Boyle. So we see Jameson and Walsh arguing because it turns out Jameson injected that Sarah, whatever her name is.
Sarah Strasburg.
Sarah Silverman with the kryptonite and gave her the jitters and she died, you know. And, you know, so they argue about it and all this stuff. But anyway, so that kind of reveals that, oh, yeah, he's a jerk. And, you know, he's not really a nice guy like he was trying to play it off as. But then also, and this was revealed earlier, like he had said, like, we're going to study these meter freaks. And then we're going to be able to give people's powers but control them, you know. Mm-hmm. So they don't turn you crazy or, you know, destroy yourself and your environment or whatever, right? Because, like, obviously some of these are self-destructive. Like Sean Kelvin's, like, having to, you know, suck people's heat and stuff. So then Jameson busts in there and sees what she'd been doing. And then he like jitters through the door, puts a reverse flash, I guess. And so she's like, what's wrong with your hand? You know, he's like, I have the jitters, but I can control them, you know? And he starts like using like vibrations, like on the
floor.
Like, and yeah. All this stuff. And like, it's like, okay, well, I see why this is a comic now.
Uh huh.
Cause this is more expensive than any episode of Smallville. but then Pete like jumps in and
hits him over the back of the head with a chair. Oh,
that reminds me, another good one liner from Pete, even in the comic book forums here, right? Is he looks at Tina Gary's like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. What did you say about,
he's like, oh, he's like, well, I guess something along the lines of is like, well, it looks like you won't be like sneaking up on people and
drop kicking them in the lockers anymore. Yeah. Cause as we joked about in Visage, like Tina Greer as Lana, just like Lana foos the crap out of Pete. And then he's left bleeding out.
Yep.
In that small high school hallway. Very similar to that episode of Arrow, right? And I think I mentioned this in the podcast on Visage as well. That episode of Arrow where the Atom meets
Roy and Oliver.
And then
Roy's just left there.
Yeah. Like the Atom, like Emperor Palpatine's, or more like Count Dooku's.
Yep.
You know, throws him across with the lightning. And then he's just laying there. And then Oliver's like, ugh, and they both leave.
Yep.
That was a meme on the internet for a long time.
Was.
Roy just sitting there. Anyway, that reminded me of that. It's like, who forgot about Pete? Anyway, kind of an open, free-form discussion tonight, guys. But give us a break, right?
It's all good.
So, they keep fighting him.
Yeah, it's an action set piece.
Yeah, and then Chloe throws, I guess,
an aerosol can?
Yeah, some kind of explosive can at him, and he grabs it, and it blows up.
Well, really he jitters good. It.
Yeah, she hides behind a table. Pete was hiding behind something else. They get out of there. That lab is blowing. We see everything blowing up. I guess it's how the Greg Arkin bug escapes and turns back into Greg Arkin by season 10. Who knows? But there was like hundreds of those Nazis.
Exactly.
Who knows? We never see Tina Gurr again. She's dead.
Yeah.
And Sean Kelvin like, oh, the fire's going to melt him. Maybe he'll come back in a later comic book. I don't know. I'm sure the next DVD set will be happy to have us read more of these comic books.
Probably.
I own all these comic books. I read some of them back in the day. I believe I have the whole collection now. Okay. But I certainly don't have any encyclopedic knowledge of them. So I don't know if any of these, if this comes back again later. Because that, you know, he was a villain that everybody thought they should bring back.
Yeah.
Sean Kelvin, he's like, oh, are they going to bring him back? Like, whenever there was an episode, like, we're bringing back some Meteor Freaks, guys. Mm-hmm. He'd always be on the list. Probably because he was one of the early ones.
Yeah.
And he had, like, a connection to Chloe. He was like, good, something different, not Lana.
Exactly.
So that's probably why people gravitated toward him. But he's kind of a one-trick pony. You know, unless you, like, turn him into, like, icicle powers or something. That's exactly what they should have done.
But we get the icicle later.
Yeah, because Iceman is Air Leech.
Yeah.
We do get Icicle Jr.
We do.
Not going to be confused with Icicle, who is Caitlin Snow's father.
Correct.
On The Flash.
That was kind of weird. Just saw that yesterday.
100th episode coming up.
Yep.
Can't wait. So the comic book finally ends, but okay, the story of the Chloe Chronicles in the comic ends. That's not where this ends.
No.
Because you have to keep... I mean, I guess you don't have to. But you keep clicking through. That one was called... what was it? Exploit.
Exploit.
Okay. Like, people are being exploited, or maybe an exploit of Chloe. I don't know. The next one was called...
Can't remember.
I was like isolated or inmate or...
Something like that.
Captive.
Captive?
Captive?
I think it was maybe. Captive.
Let us know. We're not certainly not going to go back and check.
Nope.
Never again. So...
Never.
It's Lex, and actually this is a cool story.
This was
the coolest thing, this entire thing, is Lex. It's Lex is 7 weeks in Bellevue before Clark's coming to visit him.
Yes.
Right? And he starts to think like,
oh yeah, Clark's gonna come save me.
Yeah, Clark's gonna save
and
me.
And like you see it like in his mind, like what he yeah, thinks what Clark
gonna,
can
he
do.
He thinks Clark's gonna bust in and throw all these people and throw cars around yeah. and get Lex out of there. And he's like, and then we're gonna make a special stop. And then you see him and you see Lex and Clark throwing light off the top of a building.
Mm-hmm.
And then he keeps thinking to himself, he's like, man, I just want to use Clark for his powers. Like, Clark was right not to tell me. I'm a selfish guy. But that's okay. You know what? From now on, you know, Clark's secret is safe with me for the rest of his life. He can trust me now. You know, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Like, to see that kind of evolution.
Yeah. Because
it goes from what you assume, like, the evil Lex Luthor would do with Clark powers, which we see later in the show.
Yes.
To what, like, the Lex that we see in Asylum would, you know.
Yep.
And that was really cool, I thought.
It was. And then also, like, you see how, like, you know, like, he sits down with their little, like, you know, their little, like, help group. And
he's like, I'm in here for killing my.
He's like, because my father killed my grandparents, and like he's like saying all these things, but he's like, but of course people think he's crazy.
And the people watching him are like, man, they say I'm crazy.
I know, right? And as time goes by, he's like kind of
starts to question it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And somebody else is like, and then I felt like I growed wings and I jumped out a window. He's uh-huh. like, is that how I sound to people?
Exactly.
So that was cool. Like, if it see that. That's the mini episode we
Agreed.
Want.
Agreed.
Give us the Lex Chronicles.
Yes.
And Bellevue. Oh my, brilliant. Right?
That would have been amazing.
He's in Bellevue, and there's little clippets, and you see these other villains come by, and yes. Oh my God. Let's go build a time machine and go back to 2004. Of course, I think Mike.
We need a hot tub.
Some kind of
hot tub time machine.
See? You don't remake Back to the Future. You make Hot Tub Time Machine. I'm not saying it's near as good as Back to the Future, but I'm saying that's what yes. you do. You're like, this was a kind of cool idea. Let's do it again differently. Because, you know, originally Back to the Future, the time machine was going to be a refrigerator.
Fun.
Yeah, think about that. There's a fun fact. Here's a fun fact. You made out with
your sister.
Scotty doesn't know. Kristen Crick is in that. That ties in.
Yep.
So, as you can tell... We're doing all we can to not talk about what we're supposed to be talking about tonight. So this Lex comic is good.
Yes.
And it ends with he really starts to think he's going crazy. And then
like, one of the orderlies says, like, hey, you have a visitor tomorrow. Some guy named Kent. And then like he gets really excited. Like,
all right, Clark's going to get me out of here.
Yeah.
And then he's almost going to actually take the pills.
Yes.
He's like, maybe I need these. But then he finds out. He's like, all right, good. And then, of course, that goes with something. Now, that's cool.
That was really good. That was well done.
That's what a lot of the Smallville comics at the time of the show did. They kind of filled in stories like around the show. So we'll cover those at some point. As promised, we will on the podcast cover the comic books. But anyway, that was the highlight of the Chloe Chronicles, yes. The Lex Chronicles. And I believe it was called, I'm pretty sure it was called Captive.
Yeah.
You guys, someone will let us know in the comments mm-hmm. if we're wrong. So we go from that comic book... And then we go to the next Chloe Chronicles, and then we kind of fade up on Chloe and Pete running back through the woods, like, oh my God, we gotta get out of here, you know. And then this limo pulls up, and like, who's in it? But John Glover,
heyo,
Lionel Luther making an appearance. That was good to see, right?
That was. It was cool. And you're right. That was probably who that person was at New Corp was talking to on the phone when Chloe left to inform him about what was going on. He and Chloe have a nice little back and forth as they did a lot in this past season. The funniest was, he's like, what are you two doing out here? He's like, Miss Sullivan? And he's like, who is that back there? Mr. Ross, I see. And it's just like, just the way he talks to them is so good. And he's like, what are you out there for? And they're like, school project. He's like, ah. And then like, there's an explosion.
Giant explosion. We're just, he's green, so it's kryptonite and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, all right. So there's there's some exchange here where Lionel says something to her and she's like, typical male, always concerned about size. Like, what is this? Like, I don't know. Like, it felt very out of place.
A little bit,
like,
yeah.
Like, they have a back and forth. That felt like somebody else. That didn't sound like the characters.
It did.
Now, certainly someone Lois Lane might say that.
Yes.
Right? But not Chloe at this point in high school.
Yes.
So, anyway, I don't know. If we're done dick measuring, I'd like to see my room now. Or whatever. whatever the vampire from Craving says. The fat vampire. What did that girl ever do with her career? Anyway.
Have no time for a dick measuring contest with you, Stuart.
Yeah, exactly. There's a new Liam Neeson movie coming out. And I think he like lives in, I don't know, like Alaska or something. And like his son gets killed.
Oh.
And then he like, but he's like a truck driver.
Oh boy.
So he like uses his like construction stuff to like get back at the drug cartels. I'm like, this is immediate Blu-ray purchase. Like, that is the, it's like, it's so good. And Laura Dern is his wife.
Oh man.
So, anyway,
shout out to Baron Davis.
Also, Amy Adams is who we're referring to earlier.
Yes.
She is Dick Cheney's wife in the new movie Vice.
Yes.
Played by Christian Bale. It's all connected. Anyway, again, trying not to talk about what we're supposed to be talking about. There's an explosion. Lionel offers them a ride in his limo. They refuse and run back off into the woods.
Yes.
Then they go back to the torch, and Chloe tells Pete, this one's going to stay on the wall over here. It's too dangerous to be released, you know?
Yes, because she doesn't want Lionel to know that they were doing experiments down there or have the possibility of him try to get the jitters for himself.
So, have all those powers in there.
Yeah.
So what... Like, where did this go now? Like, what was...
I don't know.
What did we just watch, Lance? Summarize this for me.
Chloe doing some investigating, got into some trouble, somehow got out of the trouble, and then she's not going to tell anybody. Because the first Chloe Chronicles was interesting because, like, it's like you're investigating...
It tied into Dr. Hamilton, it tied into Errol Jenkins and Jitters,
yes,
right?
Exactly. So, like, that was easier to follow. And because, like, that those characters that she was... interacting with, or people that were linked to, mm-hmm. were already in an episode of the show, so we had experienced them before, so we kind of knew about them, so we can kind of like, so it made sense for us to kind of like veer off with, you know, this little side story. Here, none of these characters, like Walsh and, you know, Sarah Strasberg,
they show up as different characters.
Exactly. But we don't get an episode with them, so we have no connection to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
That's the problem with this part two.
Yeah, so, I mean, they didn't do one next season. No surprise from my point of view. I mean, as you guys know, I love Chloe, right? But I call a spade, and this is a spade.
Yeah.
All right? So, I mean, I will not be rewatching this with any future Small Mall rewatches.
Yes.
I mean, look, they're an interesting curiosity, because I think they have the right idea with this stuff. And, you know, there's more. There is more. There's the Vengeance Chronicles coming up later down the road, so we'll see. That's more than just an AccuView commercial,
mm-hmm.
but they could have done a lot more with it. Like, you know, I mean, and I am the last person to sing the praise of Star Trek Discovery, but all right, they did these things called Star Trek shorts,
mm-hmm.
where they're like little 15-minute things in between the seasons of like, you know, the side characters doing stuff. I'm like, all right, that's actually a pretty cool idea because you have these sets, you have these actors, you have access to this,
yes,
and you do something else with it. And that's a way different thing what they're doing here. I mean, I think they should do that kind of stuff in the Arrowverse.
I agree.
That would save a lot. It's like, give us a Superman miniseries every, Superman's entire supporting cast is now part of
the
show. I think they should do stuff like that. They could do, what has Roy been doing? You know, I get a lot of stuff about actor availability. I get all that. But I just think there's a lot of potential here for this kind of stuff if they just kind of plot it out right.
I agree.
And so, I mean, as much crap as we gave this, I'm glad it exists, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just didn't appreciate having to read a comic book panel by panel.
Yeah, it kind of took us out of it. Yeah.
I mean, that broke me, as I said. So anyway, that's the Chloe Chronicles Volume 2. Do not recommend. But if you have your Smallville Season 3 DVD, check it out.
Yeah,
we might enjoy it. So should you. let's leave this one on the wall, weird.
Yes.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to me about this.
Not a problem.
If people want to find you out there on the internet, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter, @SirLanceLaster.
All right, as for me personally, you can find me on Twitter @MoronZach. That's MoreOnZach. I'm also the host of another podcast, Dinner in Orbit, on the Trek FM Network. You can find us on Twitter @TrekFM. And as for the podcast itself, you can find us on Twitter @AlwaysSmallville with 1S. On Facebook @AlwaysHoldOnSmallville. And you can send us an email AlwaysSmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with 1S. Well, it's here. Season 4.
There's a lot of people that are really looking forward to you going through season four?
You know, I am excited about it because I'm looking at it through fresh eyes now.
Yes.
You know, I think at the time though, really, I think it was such a drastic departure mm-hmm. from season three. I was like, they got a good thing going here. Why are they going to retool the show now? So that, you know, it felt so different, you know. Yeah. But I'm looking at it with open mind. Every person, other than Matt Latham, thanks Matt, for being hashtag Team Zach, loves season four apparently. What do you think of season four? What's your deal on it? What's your take?
I'm with you on this because we watched it together and we had the same views on the season.
You know, so we're in this echo chamber here. We are. Other people are coming in and letting us know what's up. So I don't know. Have your opinions changed of it at all over the years?
You know, I not really, because like I think about Spell and like I just can't understand how that
it's like, oh, is it everyone
was an episode of this show.
Everyone needs to remember this is the one with the witches.
Yes.
This is the season where Lana turns into a witch.
Yes.
But yes, I am looking forward to it. And hey, we're rolling along, guys. We're rolling along here. Right, I know I take these massive hiatuses before, right? Yeah. Guess what? We ended season 3 2 weeks ago. We're starting season 4 next week. So come at me, bro. All right? I don't When did that start being a thing? Come at me, bro. Who first said that, and why is it a thing?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think it's... I mean, I as with all these catchphrases, I use them ironically. But I never really know their origin or when is the appropriate time to use it, so sometimes it gets me in trouble.
Yep.
But come at me, bro. All right? So, anyway, it's been fun talking about The Chloe Chronicles Volume 2. A lot more fun than watching it, that's for sure. So that was fun, and hey, we'll be back next week with Crusade. But until then, always hold on to Smallville.